Bound for Loss, translated by Bhikkhu Sujato. Bound for Loss. Mendicants, three kinds of people are bound for a place of loss, bound for hell if they don't give up this fault. What three? Someone who is unchaste but claims to be celibate. Someone who makes a groundless accusation of unchastity against a person whose celibacy is pure. And someone who has the view, there is nothing wrong with sensual pleasures, so they throw themselves into sensual pleasures. These are the three kinds of people bound for a place of loss, bound for hell if they don't give up this fault. Rare. Mendicants, the appearance of three people is rare in the world. What three? A realized one, a perfected one, a fully awakened Buddha. A person who teaches the teaching and training proclaimed by a realized one. A person who is grateful and thankful. The appearance of these three people is rare in the world. Immeasurable. Mendicants. These three people are found in the world. What three? Someone easy to measure, someone hard to measure, and someone who is immeasurable. And who is the person easy to measure? It's a person who is restless, insolent, fickle, scurrilous, loose-tongued, unmindful, lacking situational awareness and immersion, with straying mind and undisciplined faculties. This is called a person easy to measure. And who is the person hard to measure? It's a person who is not restless, insolent, fickle, scurrilous, or loose-tongued. They have established mindfulness, situational awareness and immersion, with unified mind and restrained faculties. This is called a person hard to measure. And who is the immeasurable person? It's a mendicant who is perfected and has ended defilements. This is called an immeasurable person. These are the three people found in the world. Imperturbable. Mendicants, these three people are found in the world. What three? First, a person going totally beyond perceptions of form, with the ending of perceptions of impingement, not focusing on perceptions of diversity, aware that space is infinite, enters and remains in the dimension of infinite space. They enjoy it and like it and find it satisfying. If they're set on that, committed to it, and meditate on it often without losing it, when they die, they're reborn in the company of the gods of the dimension of infinite space. The lifespan of the gods of infinite space is 20,000 aeons. An ordinary person stays there until the lifespan of those gods is spent. Then they go to hell, or the animal realm, or the ghost realm. But a disciple of the Buddha stays there until the lifespan of those gods is spent. Then they're extinguished in that very life. This is the difference between an educated, noble disciple and an uneducated, ordinary person as regards their place of rebirth. Furthermore, a person going totally beyond the dimension of infinite space, aware that consciousness is infinite, enters and remains in the dimension of infinite consciousness. They enjoy it and like it and find it satisfying. If they're set on that, committed to it, and meditate on it often without losing it, when they die, they're reborn in the company of the gods of the dimension of infinite consciousness. The lifespan of the gods of infinite consciousness is 40,000 aeons. An ordinary person stays there until the lifespan of those gods is spent. Then they go to hell, or the animal realm, or the ghost realm. But a disciple of the Buddha stays there until the lifespan of those gods is spent. Then they're extinguished in that very life. This is the difference between an educated, noble disciple and an uneducated ordinary person as regards their place of rebirth. Furthermore, a person going totally beyond the dimension of infinite consciousness, aware that there is nothing at all, enters and remains in the dimension of nothingness. They enjoy it and like it and find it satisfying. If they're set on that, committed to it, and meditate on it often without losing it, when they die, they're reborn in the company of the gods of the dimension of nothingness. The lifespan of the gods of nothingness is 60,000 aeons. An ordinary person stays there until the lifespan of those gods is spent, then they go to hell, or the animal realm, or the ghost realm. But a disciple of the Buddha stays there until the lifespan of those gods is spent. Then they're extinguished in that very life. This is the difference between an educated, noble disciple and an uneducated, ordinary person as regards their place of rebirth. These are the three people found in the world. Failures and accomplishments. Mendicants, there are three failures. What three? Failures in ethics, mind, and view. And what is failure in ethics? It's when someone kills living creatures, steals, commits sexual misconduct, and uses speech that's false, divisive, harsh, or nonsensical. This is called failure in ethics. And what is failure in mind? It's when someone is covetous and malicious. This is called failure in mind. And what is failure in view? It's when someone has wrong view, a distorted perspective such as there's no meaning in giving, sacrifice or offerings. There's no fruit or the result of good and bad deeds. There's no afterlife. There's no obligation to mother and father. No beings are reborn spontaneously. And there's no ascetic or Brahmin who is well attained and practiced and who describes the afterlife after realizing it with their own insight. This is called failure in view. Some sentient beings, when their body breaks up after death, are reborn in a place of loss, a bad place, the underworld, hell, because of failure in ethics, mind, or view. These are the three failures. There are three accomplishments. What three? Accomplishment in ethics, mind, and view. And what is accomplishment in ethics? It's when someone doesn't kill living creatures, steal, commit sexual misconduct, or use speech that's false, divisive, harsh, or nonsensical. This is called accomplishment in ethics. And what is accomplishment in mind? It's when someone is content and kind-hearted. This is called accomplishment in mind. And what is accomplishment in view? It's when someone has right view, an undistorted perspective such as there is meaning in giving, sacrifice and offerings. There are fruits and results of good and bad deeds. There is an afterlife. There are obligation to mother and father. There are beings reborn spontaneously. And there are ascetics and Brahmins who are well attained and practiced and who describe the afterlife after realizing it with their own insight. This is called accomplishment in view. Some sentient beings, when their body breaks up after death, are reborn in a good place, a heavenly realm, because of accomplishment in ethics, mind, or view. These are the three accomplishments. Loaded dice. Mendicants, there are three failures. What three? Failure in ethics, mind, and view. And what is failure in ethics? It's when someone kills living creatures, steals, commits sexual misconduct, and uses speech that's false, divisive, harsh, or nonsensical. This is called failure in ethics. And what is failure in mind? It's when someone is covetous and malicious. This is called failure in mind. And what is failure in view? It's when someone has wrong view, a distorted perspective such as there's no meaning in giving, sacrifice or offerings. There's no fruit or result of good and bad deeds. There's no afterlife. There's no obligation to mother and father. No beings are reborn spontaneously. And there's no ascetic or Brahmin who is well attained and practiced and who describes the afterlife after realizing it with their own insight. This is called failure in view. Some sentient beings, when their body breaks up after death, are reborn in a place of loss, a bad place, the underworld, hell, because of failure in ethics, mind, or view. It's like throwing loaded dice. They always fall the right side up. In the same way, some sentient beings, when their body breaks up after death, are reborn in a place of loss, a bad place, the underworld, hell, because of failure in ethics, mind, or view. These are the three failures. There are three accomplishments. What three? Accomplishment in ethics, mind, and view. And what is accomplishment in ethics? It's when someone doesn't kill living creatures, steal, commit sexual misconduct, or use speech that's false, divisive, harsh, or nonsensical. This is called accomplishment in ethics. And what is accomplishment in mind? It's when someone is content and kind-hearted. This is called accomplishment in mind. And what is accomplishment in view? It's when someone has right view, an undistorted perspective such as there is meaning in giving, sacrifice and offerings. There are fruits and results of good and bad deeds. There is an afterlife. There is obligation to mother and father. There are beings reborn spontaneously. And there are ascetics and Brahmins who are well attained and practiced and who describe the afterlife after realizing it with their own insight. This is called accomplishment in view. Some sentient beings, when their body breaks up after death, are reborn in a good place, a heavenly realm, because of accomplishment in ethics, mind, or view. It's like throwing loaded dice. They always fall the right side up. In the same way, some sentient beings, when their body breaks up after death, are reborn in a good place, a heavenly realm, because of accomplishment in ethics, mind, or view. These are the three accomplishments. Action. Mendicants, there are three failures. What three? Failure in action, livelihood, and view. And what is failure in action? It's when someone kills living creatures, steals, commits sexual misconduct, and uses speech that's false, divisive, harsh, or nonsensical. This is called failure in action. And what is failure in livelihood? It's when a noble disciple has wrong livelihood and earns a living by wrong livelihood. This is called failure in livelihood. And what is failure in view? It's when someone has wrong view, a distorted perspective such as there's no meaning in giving, sacrifice, or offerings. There's no fruit or result of good and bad deeds. There's no afterlife. There's no obligation to mother and father. No beings are reborn spontaneously. And there's no ascetic or Brahmin who is well attained and practiced and who describes the afterlife after realizing it with their own insight. This is called failure in view. These are the three failures. There are three accomplishments. What three? Accomplishment in action, livelihood, and view. And what is accomplishment in action? It's when someone doesn't kill living creatures, steal, commit sexual misconduct, or use speech that's false, divisive, harsh, or nonsensical. This is called accomplishment in action. And what is accomplishment in livelihood? It's when a noble disciple has right livelihood and earns a living by right livelihood. This is called accomplishment in livelihood. And what is accomplishment in view? It's when someone has right view, an undistorted perspective such as there is meaning in giving, sacrifice, and offerings. There are fruits and results of good and bad deeds. There is an afterlife. There is obligation to mother and father. There are beings reborn spontaneously. And there are ascetics and Brahmins who are well attained and practiced, and who describe the afterlife after realizing it with their own insight. This is called accomplishment in view. These are the three accomplishments. Purity, first. Mendicants, there are these three kinds of purity. What three? Purity of body, speech, and mind. And what is purity of body? It's when someone doesn't kill living creatures, steal, or commit sexual misconduct. This is called purity of body. And what is purity of speech? It's when someone doesn't use speech that's false, divisive, harsh, or nonsensical. This is called purity of speech. And what is purity of mind? It's when someone is content, kind-hearted, and has right view. This is called purity of mind. These are the three kinds of purity. Purity, second. Mendicants, there are these three kinds of purity. What three? Purity of body, speech, and mind. And what is purity of body? It's when a mendicant doesn't kill living creatures, steal, or have sex. This is called purity of body. And what is purity of speech? It's when a mendicant doesn't use speech that's false, divisive, harsh, or nonsensical. This is called purity of speech. And what is purity of mind? It's when a mendicant who has sensual desire in them understands, I have sensual desire in me. When they don't have sensual desire in them, they understand, I don't have sensual desire in me. They understand how sensual desire arises, how when it's already arisen, it's given up, and how, once it's given up, it doesn't arise again in the future. When they have ill will in them, they understand, I have ill will in me. And when they don't have ill will in them, they understand, I don't have ill will in me. They understand how ill will arises, how, when it's already arisen, it's given up, and how, once it's given up, it doesn't arise again in the future. When they have dullness and drowsiness in them, they understand, I have dullness and drowsiness in me. And when they don't have dullness and drowsiness in them, they understand, I don't have dullness and drowsiness in me. They understand how dullness and drowsiness arise, how, when they've already arisen, they're given up, and how, once they're given up, they don't arise again in the future. When they have restlessness and remorse in them, they understand, I have restlessness and remorse in me. And when they don't have restlessness and remorse in them, they understand, I don't have restlessness and remorse in me. They understand how restlessness and remorse arise, how, when they've already arisen, they're given up, and how, once they're given up, they don't arise again in the future. When they have doubt in them, they understand, I have doubt in me. And when they don't have doubt in them, they understand, I don't have doubt in me. They understand how doubt arises, how, when it's already arisen, it's given up, and how, once it's given up, it doesn't arise again in the future. This is called purity of mind. These are the three kinds of purity. Purity of body, purity of speech, and undefiled purity of heart. A pure person, blessed with purity, has washed off all bad things, they say. Sagacity. Mendicants, there are these three kinds of sagacity. What three? Sagacity of body, speech, and mind. And what is sagacity of body? It's when a mendicant doesn't kill living creatures, steal, or have sex. This is called sagacity of body. And what is sagacity of speech? It's when a mendicant doesn't use speech that's false, divisive, harsh, or nonsensical. This is called sagacity of speech. And what is sagacity of mind? It's when a mendicant realizes the undefiled freedom of heart and freedom by wisdom in this very life, and they live, having realized it with their own insight, due to the ending of defilements. This is called sagacity of mind. These are the three kinds of sagacity. A sage in body, a sage in speech, a sage undefiled in heart, a sage, blessed with sagacity, has given up everything, they say.